the ancient book of Job confronts the most haunting question in human history: why do good people suffer? Harold Kushner's analysis isn't just scholarly interpretation, it's the culmination of a deeply personal journey. After proposing to write about God's role in human tragedy as a young rabbi, life prepared him through the most painful education imaginable, watching his own son Aaron die from progeria, a rare aging disease, at just 14 years old. This experience transformed Kushner's understanding of suffering and divine justice, insights he brings to this profound biblical text that Alfred Lord Tennyson once called the greatest poem of ancient and modern times. Beyond religious circles, Job's story has shaped everything from literature to film, from MacLeish's play J.B. to the Coen brothers' A Serious Man, because its central question transcends time and culture. How do we make sense of a world where suffering seems random and justice uncertain? Have you ever caught yourself thinking everything happens for a reason? This isn't just casual philosophy. It's a fundamental psychological need that shapes how we interpret tragedies. When disasters like Hurricane Katrina or COVID-19 strike, some claim divine punishment, creating an image of a vindictive deity that Kushner finds unworthy of worship. When personal tragedy hits, we often blame ourselves. I must have done something to deserve this. Professor Elaine Pagels observed that many would rather feel guilty than powerless. Guilt at least implies control over our circumstances. Accepting randomness in human suffering feels too terrifying. This tension appears in Jewish legend through Abraham's discovery of a palace lit up by fire in the desert. Is it evidence of divine order, or a burning building representing a world where bad things happen? Perhaps our calling isn't to explain suffering, but to alleviate it. The book of Job contains a striking contradiction. It's actually two distinct works merged together with dramatically different theological perspectives. The fable, chapters 1, 2, and 42, presents a simple morality tale where steadfast faith is rewarded, while the poem, chapters 3 through 41, offers a profound philosophical protest challenging divine justice. In the fable's cosmic wager between God and Satan, Job loses everything yet maintains faith. This disturbing narrative troubled even ancient commentators, with Rabbi Yochanan comparing it to God being talked into acting against his better judgment. The fable concludes with God restoring Job's fortune and giving him 10 new children, as if children who die can simply be replaced. The poem presents a completely different Job who angrily challenges divine justice and rejects easy answers. The God in the fable prizes unquestioning loyalty, controlling everything but not necessarily acting morally. This raises troubling questions about loving a God we mainly fear. The poem abandons this framework, launching into an unprecedented theological debate about God's role in human suffering. After 7 days of silent grief, Job speaks with raw anguish, "Perish the day on which I was born. Why did I not die at birth?" His lament isn't self-pity, but an existential cry, questioning the value of existence when suffering becomes unbearable. Pain so overwhelming that all previous joys seem worthless. His friend Eliphaz responds with what he believes is comfort. "You have encouraged many. Now apply your own wisdom to yourself." His argument follows traditional wisdom. Suffering must be deserved, and righteousness will eventually be rewarded. Job rejects these platitudes, comparing his friends to desert wadis, streams that flow during rainy seasons but disappear in the heat precisely when needed most. Job introduces a revolutionary concept. Questioning God can demonstrate deeper faith than blind acceptance. His anger reflects integrity rather than impiety. The most authentic relationships include room for honest disagreement, and Job suggests our relationship with the divine should be no different. After cycles of bitter arguments with his friends, God finally addresses Job directly from a whirlwind. Rather than explaining Job's suffering or divine justice, God challenges his limited perspective. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? This isn't merely about power, it's about cosmic perspective. God describes a world designed with benevolence, where rain falls on the wilderness where no man is. The absence of humans in God's cosmic inventory delivers a profound message. It's not all about you. You are not the center of my universe. God showcases both domesticated animals useful to humans and exotic creatures serving no human purpose, emphasizing that creation wasn't designed exclusively for human benefit. Most intriguing are Behemoth and Leviathan, symbols of forces essential to God's world. Behemoth represents what Freud would later call id and eros, the energy giving humans capacity to impact others' lives. Leviathan embodies the element of chance in creation, the randomness shaping our lives beyond our control or understanding. After God speaks, Job makes his profound realization. I had heard about you with my ears, but now I see you with my eyes. He is moved from theological understanding to direct religious experience, from discussing God to encountering God. Job doesn't receive answers about why he suffered, he receives presence. Different theological traditions have approached Job's dilemma in various ways. Maimonides viewed Job's tribulations as necessary for spiritual growth. Spinoza called Job the most honest book in the Bible for questioning God's goodness. Isaac Luria's Kabbalistic theology presents God's self-limitation creating space for creation, including its imperfections. Martin Buber developed the concept of God hiding his face. Terrible things happen not because God wills them, but because he turns his attention away. What transformed Kushner's thinking was MacLeish's challenge to God's omnipotence, suggesting that without man's love, God does not exist as God, only as creator, and love is the one thing no one, not even God, can command. This opened him to consider that divine presence might matter more than divine explanation. What if the most authentic religious response to suffering isn't explanation, but companionship? Kushner reinterprets the parable of Abraham seeing a palace lit up by fire as a burning palace God hasn't abandoned rather than a well-ordered one. He finds God not in the world's perfection, but in human resilience facing tragedy, in Holocaust survivors rebuilding families, in his son embracing life despite illness, and in people comforting the afflicted. Like Job, Kushner has experienced God in the shadows and responds with Job's words, "I have experienced the reality of God. I am comforted." The book of Job doesn't offer easy answers to suffering, but provides assurance that we're not alone in our questioning. Meaning emerges from authentic presence rather than perfect understanding. When we sit with those who suffer without hollow explanations, acknowledging both pain and the possibility of healing, we participate in the divine response to a world that remains beautiful despite its brokenness.